Welcome to the Great Loop Radio Podcast, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. I'm Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today, we're going to continue our Story of Our Loop series, where we have some of our Gold Loopers who have done the entire Great Loop route. They come on and they tell us the stories of their Great Loop. And today, we've got Tom and Joyce. And what makes them a little bit different than kind of your standard loopers is that they completed the Great Loop with another couple aboard one boat. And we wanted to have them on because we get this question a lot. So we will get their thoughts on what made it work for them, because we know there have been some cases that have worked and some that really were not successful. So we'll talk about that with Tom and Joyce in just a minute. Before we really dive in, I want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors, who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Great Loop Yacht Sales, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with the business out of the way, I'd like to officially welcome Tom and Joyce Schulke to Great Loop Radio. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, well, we kind of, you know, gave the spoiler alert already. What kind of makes you unique is that you did the Great Loop with another couple aboard. But let's just kind of start from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about the two of you and your boating experience before you set out on the Great Loop.
Well, we've owned quite a few boats through the years, and in our younger years, mostly small ones, small as canoes, skiffs, pontoon boats. But after we retired about 15 years ago, we relocated in Florida and discovered some of the great boating areas in the area. And we would go out with our Carolina skiff to Crystal River and take out day trips. One day we were visiting there and I saw this small trailerable trawler go by, a Sea Dory, and I just had to have one. You know, having a cabin boat opened up a lot of overnight and longer traveling opportunities for us. We have since boated in the Keys, the Gulf Coast. I helped a friend of mine 2 years ago take his boat across the from Carrabelle down to Fort Myers, which was a fun trip. And his girlfriend wouldn't go along, so what can I say? And then we spent a lot of time in Lake Superior on a trailable trawler. We also host the Sea Dory Gathering here in Florida every March in the St. Johns River. We've been doing that for 10 years. So, and I've been doing most of the boat maintenance and modifications over the years. Of course, Joyce makes me look good at our docking here, and she's just an excellent admiral. So
great. Yeah. And I want to talk a little bit about the Sea Dory as the conversation goes on, because you're now on the loop on a Sea Dory, but the first loop was not on a Sea Dory.
Right.
Tell us, you know, to start off with, to set the stage a little bit, tell us when you did that Great Loop and what the vessel was. And then we'll get into the circumstances that brought you aboard that boat.
Okay. Well, I think that's your area there.
We didn't have it written down, but that's okay. We do know this information. We left Palatka, Florida on Good Friday, April 15th, 2022.
22.
And anyway, we finished on Christmas Day in Jacksonville. Christmas Day, 2022. Mm-hmm. And the boat is a 45-foot Californian.
Named the Redemption.
And we'll talk more about why we chose it later. But it worked well.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell us, the Californian, the 45-foot Californian is obviously a larger boat than the Sea Dory, which gave the room for the second couple. So tell us how that came about, that you found yourselves looping one boat, two couples aboard.
Okay. We were friends with Lee and Jan for many years, and they're the ones we looped with. And they also had a Sea Dory 25, and we did a lot of experiences with them. And some years ago, we were relaxing on the dock on the Illinois River, and a bigger boat came by that had a looper flag, and Tom remembers it as a Camino 31. And he said to Lee, why don't you buy a boat like that and we could do the loop with you? We kind of laughed about it, but 2 years later, Lee said, you know, guys, we're going to do this. We're going to do the loop together. And he went to a Great Loop rendezvous and he said, let the adventure begin.
Exactly.
And I remember meeting Lee at the rendezvous, because he became very quickly my candy man. He would
Everybody's
hand me a Werther's every
Candyman.
time. Every time he walked by, he would hand me a Werther's, and that was a much needed pick me up sometimes during a rendezvous when it's an exhausting event. So I remember Lee well. And so you mentioned you both had sea dories. Why not do the loop on the two sea dories and go together? What made you decide to get one bigger boat and the four of you to travel on the same boat?
Well, I think it came down to doing it on a sea dory. I like doing it in sections. But Leah has a point. He wanted to get a year in, do the whole loop. It was on his bucket list trip. And for us to on the Redemption, the California 45, we could bring oil change things, we could bring our supplies along. We were able to stay out basically the whole year without a problem. On a sea dory, that would have been quite a bit more challenging. Not that people haven't done it, they have. But no, we just decided that we'd do it together, and he was willing to buy the boat, so we were willing to go along.
So, once you're starting to talk about, two couples, one boat, a lot of times the parameters for the boat changes a little bit. So tell us, as the four of you were kind of cooking up this plan, you already mentioned that Lee was going to buy the boat. How did you decide on the Californian, and what features were must-haves? What kind of boats did you go out looking for before deciding on the Californian?
Well, one thing we agreed, we did not want a total fixer-upper. We knew that within about a year or so, we wanted to get going. So a few mods were okay, but for the most part, had to be ready to go. We said we wanted two engines, we wanted a bow thruster, we wanted two separate berths and with separate showers and heads. And if we had an aft and a bow, that would be even the best possible. We wanted a salon comfortable enough for four people to hang out. We wanted a galley that two people could work in, a nice dinette. And of course, one of the really big things is we had to pick a boat that had the proper air draft
Of
because there's a
course.
few bridges. So he was out there measuring it to begin with for the route we wanted. And we knew we'd have to have it down for two bridges. And all we needed to do was to lower the radar tower, and that was very doable. But there is no perfect boat, and you always have to be a little flexible. At first, we said we don't want a boat with ladders. Well, if anybody knows a California, he has ladders and steps all over the place. They were no problem, and we actually got to appreciate them as exercise machines.
Yeah, Lee had originally brought his stair stepper along. I told him, Lee, you don't need
Don't
it.
need a
We're
stair
going to get all
step.
our exercise we want on this boat. And it turned out great.
Real well. Now, so the
Californian's layout that you ended up picking, did it meet all of those features? And tell me about the two staterooms that it had.
They were aft and the bow. They were separate, had their own heads and everything, and it was absolutely, couldn't ask for better.
No. And we, had a good sun deck.
Yes.
Nice fly bridge. Lee
Yes.
and Jan spent a lot of time in the fly bridge. We had areas that we could have our own space. And I think that's important. If
Right.
you wouldn't have that on a Sea Dory 25 with two couples.
Now with two couples. But like we've learned on our sea dory, if somebody just goes off with their little book or something, unless the boat's on fire, you do not have to bother them, So you just get used to when you can and can't enter.
So, talk a little bit about some of the challenges of looping with another couple. We've seen it and very badly with one couple buying the other one out on the boat. We've seen it go really well. We know we've got at least two boats out there right now that I personally have come across that have two couples aboard. One of them it's sisters and their husbands, and one it's friends. But what are some of the pitfalls or some of the challenges that people might be able to expect if they decide to do the loop in this manner?
Well, first of all, spoiler alert, we're still friends, all of us.
I'm so
And
glad to hear
people ask
that.
us that all the time.
All the time, first
How
question.
did you stay on a boat 8.5 months with the same other
Other
people?
people. Yeah.
Well, first of all, we are all unique, okay? And we all have different personalities, and we have to understand that and embrace that. And were there misunderstandings along the way? Yeah, I'm sure they were, and I'm sure they're all my fault too. But you know, okay, but we're able to clear them up quickly. One thing, you know, you have to have a like spirit. In our case, you know, we were all Christians, and we would, you know, we'd get a problem, we'd pray on it and work it out. And you have to have some method of working out those little challenges. And it wasn't always, you know, it wasn't big things. A lot of times it was just little things. I mean,
The shoe. Okay. Four couples, that back deck had eight pairs of shoes flying around. Lee almost tripped on one. There was always some in my way when I was trying to work in the rear cleat. And so he said, all right, we have to come up with a plan for shoes. Seems small, but it really was nice to get it settled.
Yeah, so little things like that had mm-hmm. to be dealt with. We also needed to agree on a basic plan. Joyce and I allowed an hour to do the loop. Yeah, I'm going to set a record there. Okay, a year to do the loop. And we're willing to go along with whatever the schedule took during that year.
Yeah.
Lee is still actively involved in his business somewhat. I mean, and he was able to take time off, but there were a couple times, three times he had to take off and get mm-hmm. back to Michigan. And of course, finding a boat, you know, he lived in Michigan. We lived in Florida. It was difficult even to get together to find a boat, but you know, we did work it out, finally found one. In fact, the first day he saw the boat was the day he put the final payment on it. Because I had to did all, we found it in Jacksonville, and I had it all surveyed and all that down here. But anyway, you have to consider family and work schedules, and we were able to be fluid enough that it worked out well.
Yes.
Also, you know, wherever we wanted to stop, if we wanted to stop at a town for a few days, Lee would make sure. Yeah, we'll all stop there. If he wanted to go someplace, we'd all stop there. You have to have that flexibility. And we never had a tight schedule, never. Mm-hmm. Where a few areas we had to be, we made sure we got there a week early. You know, you've said it, everybody said it. You can't have a schedule on the loop. So your lifestyles need to be similar. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody's out partying all night and the other person is quiet, it's not going to work out. It can work for the right people, but not for everybody, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Did you have an escape plan if it was not working out after you got a few months into it?
You know, we never look back. When I commit to something, mm-hmm. I commit to something. And mm-hmm. we knew we were going to make it work out. I think that's why she's put up with me for over 50 years.
I love that.
You make it work out,
yeah.
and it did. You know, the only thing that could have really ended it all is if one of us had a bad health problem.
Yeah, that
you know, the youngest of us were 70, and so you know, you never know what's going to happen. Although we were very careful always around the boat to stay away from injuries. My good friend Dr. Bob always said the best first aid is not getting hurt. And so we had, and that worked. So that would have been the only thing. If somebody would have got hurt seriously, we the trip would have ended, and we understood that. But that was about the only way, as far as I go.
And Joyce, I loved your example about the shoes because, you know, it's the little things that can, and I think that goes for even of just two people on a boat.
Yes.
Yes.
But some of the two couples on a boat that I have spoken with who, you know, just couldn't make it work, talked about little things like towels that they couldn't agree on. And I thought, surely it wasn't about the towels.
No.
So I think you're right that if you can kind of find a solution for the little things, it moves you in the right direction towards solving bigger things that might come up too.
Yeah, and you can't let them grow.
No,
you know, if there's a problem, you deal with it now. You deal with it honestly on a one-to-one basis. And it'll go on. If you let it simmer, it's going to boil over.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take a quick break and play a message from a sponsor. When we come back, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the challenges, but I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of doing it with two couples mm-hmm. together.
Great.
So we'll take that break and we'll be back in a moment.
Dautau Island, created by nature and reserved just for you. A hidden gem of the South Carolina Lowcountry, Dautau Island is a private community catering to the active lifestyle. Golf, tennis, pickleball, croquet, bocce, 33-acre nature preserve, and the full-service Dautau Island Marina. just outside of historic Beaufort, South Carolina, and a short ride to Charleston, Savannah, and Hilton Head. Reserve your overnight stay and call ahead to arrange use of the island's amazing amenities. Marine Tech Services is on site to cater to all your repairs and maintenance. Destination, Dauta Island. Visit Dauta.com. That's DATAW.com. Schwartz & Company Yacht Sales is a boutique yacht sales organization and a proud supporter of AGLCA, Loopers, and Adventurous Souls throughout the Great Lakes. We are the exclusive representative for American Tug throughout the Great Lakes region, including the Canadian provinces of Ontario and Quebec. We are very active in the yacht brokerage market on both the buy side and sell side, providing our guidance and resources to valued customers. We also work with shipbuilders both in the U.S. and abroad to bring our customers' unique dreams to life. We welcome the opportunity to earn your business.
We're back on the Great Loop Radio podcast. We are chatting today with Joyce and Tom. They are some of our Gold Loopers who completed the loop in 2022 with their friends, two couples aboard one Californian, a 45-foot Californian. And they've been sharing the details of how they made that work, because we know that it has worked for some. They're an example of that. And for others, it's proven to be a bigger challenge than they thought. So Tom and Joyce, you've been very kind in sharing some of those details. You've talked about how you avoided letting any of the challenges become, you know, kind of deal breakers for your group. What were some of the benefits, though? You and Lee and Jan had a great time. So what were the benefits of experiencing it with your friends?
We did. We enjoyed the company. And you know, when you have that many people, you can always have two people at the helm at any given time. And you say, well, I can drive alone. Sure, you can. But if someone else is looking up phone numbers and working with you on the radio, that kind of benefit. It gives you more sets of eyes to look at things if things get really tight. And I know Tom quickly will share a little thing. You were there.
At Norfolk this year. You know, everybody, we plan on spending 2 days at, we are across the river at Portsmouth. And that's all we planned on spending there. Well, 9 days we spent there because the weather went really bad. Yes. And then what happened is like what I call a sucker hole. I'm also a pilot, and it's just all of a sudden the clouds cleared in one spot and everybody took off, us included. Well, after probably a couple mile or two, it turned into solid fog. We found out that there was a oversized container ship coming down the channel, which we never did see, or I didn't see it, but we had one person on radar. We had one person keeping heading, and the other person were on watch. And that really helped a lot, having that extra crew there. You know, we even had another looper come in right in front of us. And fortunately, somebody was on the radar and said, hey, we got one coming at us. We're able to deal with it right away. Mm-hmm. And yet we could concentrate on that. So it was a nice safety feature, especially on that particular day.
That day it
got our attention.
Yes. And that just comes in too. We're together in these tough times, but then you can take more breaks. And that got especially true when we had some long days. We had a few 10-hour travel days, one in particular on Lake Erie, that was not only long, but a beam sea the whole time. And we finally got into a rhythm where you could be on for 4 hours, take a break, and then be on, you know, and it really makes, you're a lot less wiped at the end of the day. And of course, you can share marina costs and taxis or Uber things. It's easier docking. Now that is really for sure, because everybody had their place. And we talked a little bit about the captain cannot see the stern. So Tom was his eyes and ears off the back. Jen and I each had our spot to be at a lock. It was just like clockwork, really, as it went together. And everybody has something different that they could do, and it
we all have different talents, and, mm-hmm. But it was nice to get a break now and then.
That's for sure.
It really is. I looked at some of these people that solo and do it. I'm impressed by them, but we liked our crew. Yeah. We really did. And Joyce and I make a great crew together, but on that boat, it was really nice to have the four people. It was great.
Yeah.
It was
great. And I really hadn't thought about the advantage during docking and locking of having four people until pretty recently. And I don't even remember which marina we were at, but one of our boats that's out there right now with two couples was coming in. And as they're, you know, pulling, backing into the finger, there were several loopers catching lines, and the person on board handling the lines didn't have to run from the bow to the stern and back and forth to toss those because somebody was in each place. And I was like, so easy.
Yes.
How
yes.
nice.
We're spoiled.
But sure. you did mention, you know, some of the cost sharing, and, you know, if you're comfortable talking about that some, you did mention that Lee was willing to buy the boat. How
sure.
did
yeah.
you break up the other things? And not just costs, but also kind of workload, because the loop is work. So, you know, how did you split up all of those things?
Okay. We'll do costs first.
We'll do the costs first. Well, as we know, Lee and Jan owned the boat, they bought it and they sold it. But early on, Lee took us aside one day and said, listen, it's my boat when it's time to sell it. But while the four of us are on board, it is our boat. And you will refer to it as our boat.
And we treated it
as ours. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, they took care of all the parts and enhancements to the boat, anything of those costs. They covered all the fuel costs. Yes, they were generous.
Very generous, especially with $7 a gallon fuel for a while there.
Oh, yeah, we were out there too.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
But we spied time and labor, such as getting the boat ready for those months ahead of time. It needed an upgraded anchoring system, a dinghy davit installed, an inverter to run the refrigerator during the day, and other little things. And, of course, Tom especially, and we did that early on. We did pay a certain amount towards marinas each month. We agreed on that. We shared for the food all half and half. We ate 90% of our meals on board every night, one together. And so we split that. And we found out that one of the first things that's so important, I don't care how you divide them, is early on, talk about money, figure out exactly in detail what's going to happen. We never had a disagreement on money.
Never. Not at all. And if for groceries, if somebody wanted something special that only they were going to eat, then they bought it on their own. But otherwise, it was a 50-50 split, and it worked really well.
And you had to say, I don't care if they ate six pieces of chicken and we ate five. You know, I mean, you can't get that detail.
Right.
Exactly. Now, workload. Lee was a captain. Okay. Captain Lee. And he did all the documents. In and out of the docks, and that was a good thing. I mean, basically, he was on insurance policy for doing things like that, and I was able to be on the stern, making sure that we were backing in, telling him when to go forward, reverse, and able to help. He also ran the boat probably the majority of the hours. Once again, it didn't matter to us a lot. As time went on, and we'd run it in between, and you know, we were always up on the bridge or you know, kicking around, and, you know, and a lot of times I'd be down in the engine room checking things too. So, in fact, I was called the chief engineer, probably the only engineer, come to think of it. But I was in charge of maintaining all the systems, the diesel engine care. I am basically mechanically inclined.
Yes.
I've installed most everything on our sea dory and able to do things. However, I had absolutely no diesel engine experience. Never owned a diesel, still never owned a diesel. So I went to see one of the sponsors from AGLCA, Captain Chris.
Mm-hmm. You can help with that.
Fantastic boat maintenance, boat systems course. Mm-hmm. It was well worth every penny I paid, and it saved us thousands of dollars along on the trip. Some of the hints that he had, when we left Peoria, we had an engine overheat, and we had to shut down one of the engines, and I was able to, with Lee at the helm, quickly run downstairs, and I was able to diagnose the problem and find a workaround. So within 15 minutes, we had the engine running again.
Wow.
And we were able to keep it running all the way to Alton, Illinois, where we could get the CAT repairman to take care of that issue that I couldn't personally take care of. So he saved us a lot of money and made sure that the trip went well. So if you don't know diesel systems, see him about it. Okay, we also, Joyce and I, did most of the trip planning and navigation. And we'd spend about two to three hours a day on the days that we were going to move, going over that. You know, I just feel comfortable with the planning part of it. Of course, we'd always discuss, okay, we want to go to this town. Okay, but I always have an A, B, and C. Okay, if we can't make it to here, we're going to go here. If we can't get there, we're going to anchor there. Most of the time, we were able to get to where we wanted to go because we did it conservatively. But it does take a bit of planning, especially getting used to the tides and currents. I mean, I have some experience in that, but 6 foot and 8 footers were a little more interesting for me. But we dealt with it. Joyce and Jan cooked, and Lee and I ate. Anyway, but we all shared the galley chores.
Clean up.
Yeah. Every night, somebody else would take a different night of cleanup. Joyce and Jan also did the interior cleaning of the boat, and Lee and I were in charge of the exterior of the boat. Jan kept the expenses and records, fuel rather, and records like that, and Joyce did a daily log. So we all had our own little niches, and it worked out well that way.
Yes.
And as far as the planning, we never had any problem with planning. When we came up with a plan, everybody went along with it. So it's all good.
Yeah. You're making this division of labor sound fabulous. Having two extra people to split that really sounds great. So any other thoughts that you would give to somebody who's contemplating, should we attempt this with friends or family members for that matter? Like I said, we've got some sisters out there right now with their husbands. Any other thoughts that they should consider beforehand?
Definitely go out ahead of time and spend some time together. We used to do a lot of big scuba diving trips, and we would rent a house, and we get various couples to stay with us. And there were some couples, they were all good people. Don't misunderstand me. But we were not always compatible. And so maybe the next trip, we didn't have the people come back. You need to make sure that you're compatible and you're on the same wavelength.
Yes.
And again, we were on a sailing trip with them. We boated together that way. We were able to know that we could deal with things and make it all work. And if you can make it work, it makes for a fantastic trip. We can share this trip with the four of us. That if it's an individual boat, you meet people along the way, but you don't always get back together with them yet. We get on the phone and we just laugh about what we did here or there.
Yeah.
So there's advantages.
Fun.
Awesome.
So it sounds like it went very well. So would you do it again with another couple if the opportunity arose?
I am glad that we did it the first time.
Yes.
And I would, but as far as doing it a second time that way, probably not. It takes a year out of our life. I spent a lot of time working on the boat, which I enjoy.
We were good.
And it was all good. But at this point, we have some other things we'd like to do. And by doing the complete loop, we found there were a lot of side areas we want to go to. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of areas that on the second, we're going to do it all on the second trip, but there's certain areas we want to spend more time in. The Chesapeake, we did not go through Canada on our loop. So this summer, we're already figuring on doing all the Canadian portion of the trip. And we did the Cumberland. Well, I'm getting into her stuff, but we have, just other things that we want to do right now. But I wouldn't give up the first trip.
No, not for anything else we could have done. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and you have started to talk about your second loop, and you've mentioned you have to see Dory. So tell us, what's the plan? Where are you boating now? And will you do the second loop continuously or kind of trailer the boat to the different places you want to be?
We're going to trailer boat it to where we're going to go. Yes. So we may land up doing our second and third loop at the same time because we go one direction, we turn around and come back. We have done most of Florida already. We have a few little sections I need to fill in. It's nice because I can do it when I feel like it. And we tend to go slow. How long did we spend on the Cumberland?
Spent 3.5 weeks on the Cumberland.
Yeah. Just between Green Turtle.
We did the Western Erie Canal and took 3.5 weeks to do it. Mm-hmm. So that tells how we enjoy stopping.
Absolutely.
So it's gonna take us a while. We're hoping to set a record for the longest second loop, but my friend golf coach John will probably beat me to that. But anyway.
But so what's next? You mentioned Canada this summer. Is that kind of the next big trip you plan to do?
That's the main aim for the summer. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple spots in Florida here this year, this winter, that I'm going to take some time off, January and February, and fill in those little gaps.
Yes.
Then we will trailer up in May and possibly do part of the some more of the Tennessee River. We usually stop there on the way up, and that's the advantage of a trailer of a boat. And then gets a little warmer, we'll head up towards Wisconsin. We've just stopped there for a month. We have family there, and
Family,
then off to Canada,
and off to
and
Canada.
then on the way back, do something else.
Something else.
Wherever you go, there you are.
Well, it all sounds fabulous. Enjoy the cruising. Any final advice for people who are preparing for their own loop, whether they're going to do it, with another couple or by themselves? What's your best advice for want to be loopers?
Well, I have lots of advice, but I'm only going to mention a few. Number
Okay.
one, make your own luck. Before you start the loop, be sure you've gone over your boat's systems, maintenance, inspect and service as needed, and then do a shakedown cruise. We had great luck on our trip. We only had a couple things that we couldn't have predicted, and they weren't major. The one was with that turbocharger after cooler, but we couldn't predict that. But otherwise, we just didn't have any problems because we took care of them ahead of time. And knowing your systems, I'm a Garmin guy. The boat had Raymarine, so I had to learn how to speak Raymarine. So learn your electronics ahead of time, because when we got into that situation, we had to use a radar. I'm very comfortable with it.
Yes.
And we have radar on our Sea Dory too on that. Training captain, if you're unfamiliar with your craft, be sure to hire a training captain. This was some of the best money you can spend. We had 3 full training days spent mostly on docking. And most boats, we got California, and you get a big wind, it gets a little challenging. Lee did an excellent job, but we had to get the experience, and that only comes with a training captain. Set your weather and wave limits and stick to them. We all on the boat agreed to what we call the 2 foot rule. If the forecast was for more than 2 foot seas, we didn't go. It says 3, we don't go. No, 2 feet can seem conservative, but they could turn into threes and fours. We can handle threes and
And we had
fours,
them.
and we had them. But we don't want to start out with fours and turn them into fives and six and sevens. That's not fun.
Exactly.
So, you better to be on the land wishing you were on the water than being on the water wishing you were on the land.
Very good
Okay.
point.
Right. AGLCA. If you're not a member, why not? Join.
Yes.
There's no other organization that is better for the Great Loop. The benefits are so huge. The hosts, the planning, the classifieds. And we get our update on the forums every day. The weather planning across the Gulf. I could go on and on and on. If you're not a member, you should be. And watch some YouTube videos too. And part of that, our favorite one happens to be Soho and Joe. Jen and Al, you
You
know
know
them.
them.
And
Oh
we met
yeah.
them on the loop, and they're real down to earth. They kind
They
of
are, yeah.
cruise like we do, not in a big hurry.
Yeah.
They're just good people. If you're not watching something like that, you should talk,
Yeah.
listen to right people. And I guess in closing, completing the loop on the Redemption was a life-changing journey with
Yes.
memories that are just going to last forever. So if you're considering doing a loop, start preparing now.
Yes.
There's an old saying, I know it, every journey starts with the first step. Take that first step and get going on it. You won't regret it.
Right.
My
And
thoughts.
that is a great way to close. I could not have said it better myself. This has really been a great conversation because, we get questions about two couples aboard, and I think for when it doesn't go well, it makes for, in some kind of weird way, it makes for a great story. So I love to hear the success stories. Because I don't want people to be d deterred. You're right, everybody's different. There are ways to kind of handle preemptively the problems that could come up. So I'm thrilled to share this success story for that way of looping today. And I want to thank you both for coming on and sharing it. And please give Lee and Jen my best the next time you talk with them.
We'll
And
do
we'll be
that,
talking
probably
to them.
today.
You probably will be. I
Well,
will do that.
tell Lee I am missing my Werther's.
We will tell him that. He'll feel like that.
Please do. But Joyce and Tom, thank you again for joining us, and thank you for sharing all of the details of your story.
Thank you, Kim,
Thank
so
you very
much.
much.
You are very welcome. Yeah. Thanks to everyone who's watched and listened today. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Great Loop Radio podcast. Until then, safe cruising.